वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Canto 1, Chapter 7, Son of Jonah Punished, Text Number 9. By His Divine Grace, I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shonaka asked Sri Goswami. Sri Sukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shavitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Upakaramaya Dadati Swaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Abrauni Chilananda Shri Arayita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Could you bring me some more? Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. So, first we can appreciate Shonaka is asking such nice questions. The description was there how Sukadeva Goswami was remaining in the room with the mother, didn't care to come out because he was equiposed, monist. He was aloof from any attraction to sense objects. So why would such a person take the trouble of studying? He's already there. He's already attained the perfection. That's how the impersonalists would think. Those who were after liberation. He was already situated in himself. And taking pleasure in himself. Atmarama means one who takes pleasure in himself. So Shonaka is asking, then why would he take the trouble to perform austerity of some kind? This is why we can understand that, like, Lord Shiva is not God, because he's undergoing meditation. What's he meditating on? Why is he taking trouble? We don't see any picture of Krishna meditating with his eyes closed. No, he's dancing with the gopis. He's already God. He doesn't have to meditate on God. Or if he does, he just meditates on himself. Similarly, one who is already perfect, then why should he bother studying something? The answer is, of course, that there's a higher perfection. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. The most perfect stage we can come to by the studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam will bring us to the description of those who are the most perfect, the gopis of Vrindavan. In the 10th canto of this great work, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the elaborate description of Krishna dancing with the gopis, rasa dance, and so on. So this is the real perfection, the highest perfection that any living entity can attain to. And it's not just being satisfied with the self, but it involves a loving exchange. Even here in the material world, we see that love is the most attractive feature. The poets are writing about love, and the description is there. Everybody is feeling that that's the highest sentiment, the greatest, you can say, if somebody's in love, then they're the most happy condition that they've ever been in. So many songs are written about, so many poems are addressed to that stage. So, love means two. So, someone will hear this description that you can just become satisfied in yourself. You'll think, well, this is very selfish. This is one of the criticisms that the gopis level to Krishna. when he's threatening to leave them, or when he's telling them to go home, when they come to him at the Rasa camp. then the question will be, well, why are you not attracted to your loving exchange? And Krishna explains that actually he is, but that he can't fulfill their sacrifice, because they've given everything for him. So then he's just lamenting that. But that's a spiritual lamentation. It's not that Krishna doesn't appreciate the surrender of the devotees. And rather, he says he loves them more than his very self. He loves Uddhava more than his very self. So God is Atmarama, but even more than that, he's Bhaktavatsal. He's inclined to his devotees. So this is the highest stage. Anybody can appreciate this intellectually if they come and hear, you know, this subject matter in a neutral way, like Sukadeva Goswami. He was neutral. He was equiposed monist, neutral. He didn't already have an agenda. He didn't already have a preconceived idea of what is what. He was neutral. So therefore, when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, he was attracted. He realized this is something higher than where I am. Anybody who's neutral, then, they'll appreciate that this bhakti marg is the highest. Unfortunately, people are not neutral. They have vested interest in their own conception, in personal conception. Just like I heard this in personal speaking, and he was encouraging people, oh yes, come to our ashram, and stuff, because it's his ashram, and he spent so many years in it, and his guru is involved in it. So he's got a vested interest. He can't just neutral and hear submissively like Sukadeva Goswami could. Because Sukadeva Goswami was just sitting in the womb. He didn't have any big arrangement, you know, for his aggrandizement or for that was something to some advantage for him. He could be in the womb or outside the womb. He wasn't attached. But when anybody comes to the material world, they get attached. Even the impersonals, they get attached to their ashram, to their guru, to their conception. But sometimes, even those who are attached, they can be persuaded to give up that attachment by the mercy of the devotee. This is the reason that the devotee is considered to be the most magnanimous. Most magnanimous means most. Munificent means giving. He's giving the greatest thing. Somebody can give you some money or whatever, but the greatest thing to give you is this seed of Bhakti Lata Beach. This is the most valuable thing. And by giving it, the devotee becomes more inspired. It's not like material thing. If I give you $1 million, then my bank balance is reduced. But by giving the Bhakti Lata Beej, by giving this information of devotional service, I become more of a devotee, a better devotee. And therefore, the devotee is the most exalted personality. So therefore, we should aspire to become devotees. But unfortunately, we think we have an advantage in another direction. And so we don't agree to be humble, first of all. Because devotee means humble. This is the first qualification of the devotee. He doesn't think that he has an advantage. He's humble. He understands his own position. He's very small, minute particle, and he's a servant of God. So he's not proud. We could see that was Prabhupada's actual conception of himself, that he was very humble. He didn't think he was a big leader or master or controller. No, he was very humble. So, we should also cultivate that humility. When we see that pride is coming, we should examine it for what it is. It's simply a false conception that we're presenting to defend ourselves or to allow us to act as though we're God. In some dominant way. So that way, if we can become humble, then we can appreciate And the Lord in our heart will also appreciate. He'll appreciate that we are sincere in our attempt to serve the Lord. And so He'll give us. Krishna says, I'll give you the intelligence that you can come to me. He'll arrange for us facility, whatever we need, whatever we require to make progress in spiritual life. We don't have to go outside. Krishna will help us. Of course, that doesn't mean we become lazy. No, we will be very much enthusiastic to do Krishna's work. And whatever is needful to do Krishna's work, we'll take up in it with the spirit of enthusiasm. And those things which are not needful, we'll be able to see that, and we'll just leave them. We'll no longer be attracted to those ugra karma, useless works, which don't please Krishna. So, any comments?
Maharaj, I have two questions. First is because you said that just like impersonalities, they are attached to their own idea or ashram and whatever. But from their point of view, they can say the same about us. Like Lord Chaitanya said that we should not discuss with them, even hear from them. So,
yeah.
So they can say, oh, you are also...
That's right, they can say like that. Therefore, one has to be neutral to judge who is right and who is wrong. But unfortunately, nobody's neutral. So we ask for a neutral party to come, and please observe. Now, those devotees in ISKCON, they are attached to ISKCON because ISKCON is not different than Krishna. So they are attached to Krishna. They're attached to serving Krishna. And this is Krishna's mission. So that attachment is wanted. The Mayavadis, they're attached to what? You tell me.
Well, maybe they are, how to say, they convince that by following his spiritual, you know, successors, they will attain some goal, what they are looking for.
What is that goal?
Just, you know, impersonal Brahmajyoti.
Yeah, but that means they have a desire, something comes to them. Therefore, objectively we say, they are not as exalted as a devotee. They're still selfish. They want something. I want to become self-realized. The gopis, they don't want anything. Just to please Krishna.
Okay, and second question is...
But you're satisfied with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Second question?
Second question is... if actually we have this choice to make some, how to say, stop our activities and be just humble and serve fully to the Lord, you know, because I can understand that beyond this platform of anartha nivritti, we can make this decision, but if this reactions are still in our heart, these dirty things, so we can understand that this is not proper what we are doing, but we don't have power to stop this. We can just develop desire to work in proper way, or just, you know...
Then we should come under those who are properly situated. We should agree to be their servants. So Prabhupada is recognized as the properly situated. Therefore, we should serve his mission, serve his instruction. Then, even we may have material desires, but those will be quickly removed by serving him. And we will become humble. But as a servant, then we also, you know, we'll be obliged to be humble. That's the idea. Why Prabhupada said a guru is necessary, because with a guru, then you have to be humble. It's like, Prabhupada is my guru. So if I do something that I know is not pleasing to him, then I can feel that he is displeased, then I feel he'll chastise me. And so I have to be humble, I have to be his servant. Even if I do something wrong, then I feel guilty. If I do something that I know is not pleasing to Prabhupada, like you're saying, you know, because of my nature and so I may do something like that, then immediately I feel that I'm disappointing him. And so I become humble. At least I don't go on with my nonsense thing and make it give some excuse that it's actually very wonderful. That's the most dangerous thing. When you can't follow, you have these impurities, but you make these some philosophy that the impurities are actually okay. So such a person is also humble. They may not be perfectly neutral because of their pushings of their genital and so on, but at least they're humble. When that happens, when their urges overcome them, then they realize that this is not really what I want. And I'll try to improve. And next time I'll try to avoid it, this occasion where I'll be led into this temptation of sin. And so let me become more serious about following strictly. And then, over time, such a person will be helped by Krishna, and then they'll also come to the Nishtha platform, if they're patient, enthusiastic. It's all right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.